Rex Latchford here with another day page. It's a sleeves off, pants down edition. You may have noticed that when the entire production team is here and we do this on the fly, things are different. Today we're going to look at some tech news, since there seems to be a lot of it, and everyone else is rehashing the Obama State of the Union address, which wasn't really all that special, except that you could watch John Boehner in the background there with his orange face, making all those scowling racial facial expressions. You know, I didn't see myself, but there are reports here that Monday night, the Apple Store website was offline, and it said, "We'll be back. We're busy updating the Apple Store for you, and we'll be back soon." So the rumors are out that there may be a new Apple TV on the way. Too bad, I just bought one of those. Almost 3 months after the collapse of the personal computer industry forced it to become a private company, Dell is moving on in its new strategy. It involves destroying the computer networking business. This is from the New York Times. On Tuesday morning, Dell announced that it would offer networking equipment that is built with non-specialized semiconductors and an open-source operating system, as opposed to the highly proprietary gear and software from Cisco Systems, Juniper Networks, and Hewlett-Packard. Well, there's something that could affect my day job. While that's unlikely to be a huge business soon for Dell, it lends credibility and muscle to what has been a growing effort to dislodge those incumbents, those big ones, through cheaper, easier-to-build equipment. If Dell and others can do that, the result would be lower costs at the large data centers run by Google, Facebook, and very large banks and companies, and cheaper networking could also make the internet even more ubiquitous. Well, Dell is doing some cool things. I recently bought a Dell Venue 8 tablet, and it's pretty cool. It's a complete PC on a tiny little tablet. You can hook it up to external things and make it into a full-fledged PC that's rather peppy and cheap. And with all that Windows PCs software out there that's famous for driving you crazy, it could pose a competition to the Android and iOS operating systems, which are most famous at this point for ratting you out every time you load apps into iOS and Android. They spill the beans on every little thing that you're doing to who knows who many hundreds of thousands of companies that are trying to track your every move and hope that that can pick up nickels and dimes. And that brings us to another story that's sort of near and dear to our heart, as Radio InfoWeb is partially funded by internet advertising under the turnaround plan devised by Yahoo's chief executive, Marissa Mayer. The company gained traffic and mobile users in 2013 and introduced a bevy of products like a slick digital food magazine and a mobile weather app. Yet, despite Ms. Mayer's labors, Yahoo is still falling further and further behind in the race for internet advertising. The company said on Tuesday that revenue and operating profits declined in the fourth quarter of 2013 and would continue dropping for the first quarter of this year. Well, that's pretty consistent with Radio InfoWeb's results. And analysts project that Yahoo's biggest competitors, Facebook and Google, will post big gains, especially in the hot area of mobile advertising, where Yahoo is making so little money that it doesn't even break out the numbers. If you are a Tumblr freak, this may be old news to you, it's news to me. This past Friday, Tumblr published a draft revision of its terms and policies to GitHub for reading by the public before it updates them on the site. The company said in a blog post that the updates mark the first time in 2 years that the service will be updating its terms of service, as well as the first time that they've been tweaked since the company was acquired by Yahoo last year. The updated terms for Tumblr are mostly just tweaks to the legal wording, but the company has reworked the recommendations on how to be a good Tumblr user. Notable additions include the company asking that users attribute each other when reposting content, no more plagiarism, rules against impersonating companies, personalities, or other users, and encourages users to discuss hateful content rather than have the company remove it. And reduce some of the costs of editing there, I guess, but I'm not knocking it. I think that's a better way. The company obviously hasn't had its fun side squashed by coming into the Yahoo corporate fold, since the documents still contain the occasional expletive and even calls those that torture animals dicks. These guidelines are more like rules. Tumblr says that if users are caught repetitively breaking the guidelines, they may have their accounts suspended or be blocked entirely. It's interesting that Tumblr has added them now, as it appears the company is attempting to clean up user habits across the site going forward. Ah, yes, Network Mother. Your mother is on Facebook, by the way. And as we're running out of time, this is probably the last item I'll be able to do on today's day page, on this day in history. There's a problem with today's voice recognition systems. They're just too slow. Anyone who's waited in frustration while Siri or Google's voice search thinks about even the simplest commands knows what I'm talking about. The problem isn't voice recognition software per se, which is more accurate than ever. The problem is that voice recognition is still a challenging enough problem computationally that all the major consumer platforms that do it, whether built by Google, Apple, Microsoft, or the new Xbox, must send a compressed recording of your voice to servers hundreds or thousands of miles away, and their computers more powerful than your phone or game console transform it into text or a command. It's that round trip, especially on slower cellular connections, that make voice recognition on devices so slow. Google has had offline voice recognition since Android 4.1, but it's still in experimental phase and isn't available to non-Google developers of apps. But Intel has a solution, says the company's head of wearables, Mike Bell, in an exclusive interview with Quartz. Intel partnered with an unnamed third party to put that company's voice recognition software on Intel mobile processors, powerful enough to parse the human voice, but small enough to fit in a device that's listening. No round trip to the cloud required. The third party is almost certainly Nuance, the company that makes Dragon Natural Speaking, and it's busy licensing its voice recognition software all over the place. The result is a prototype wireless headset called Jarvis that sits in the wearer's ears and connects to his or her smartphone. Perhaps coincidentally, Jarvis is also the name of the voice recognition and artificial intelligence software in the Iron Man movie franchise. Jarvis can both listen to commands and respond in its own voice, acting as both a voice control and personal assistant. Not only is Intel's voice recognition solution more responsive than those offered by its cloud-obsessed competitors, but it also leads to what Bell calls graceful degradation, which means that it works even when the phone it's connected to is not online. So Siri, look out, there's competition on the way. But that's it for today's Day Page. You can find all the Day Pages at daypage.net. It's a production of Radio InfoWeb, heard on the Liberty Radio Network. And I beseech you, humbly, join us again next time for another Day Page.